Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Praise the Lord. We want to thank everybody who called in, everybody who has tuned in tonight. Hallelujah. This is the Anointed Truth of Christ late night. Hallelujah. And we are blessed. Amen. Praise God to be. Hallelujah. Back in the house of the Lord once again. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a special guest speaker on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the way, praise God. Hallelujah. From California. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have a blessed time on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm not going to hold everybody up. I know it's already late. Hallelujah. And we're ready for a late night word from the Lord. Hallelujah. So without further ado, hallelujah, I am about to introduce to some and present to others. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Juan Placinia on tonight. Pastor Juan, it is in your hands. Hallelujah. Let the Lord use you and have his way on tonight.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'm here with my wife. Hi. And we're in Los Angeles, which is actually, and we're grateful how God is using us down here in Los Angeles, Skid Row area. We've seen many miracles. We've seen God move. And we're really excited for what God is doing down here. And just excited for what today is of trust. Is very difficult in
I'm having trouble hearing you, brother.
Amen, Pastor Juan. We're losing you a little bit. Praise God.
Okay, let me know if you can hear me. So we want to, I want to trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Yeah, I'm getting a bad connection, Pastor. I'm getting a bad connection.
Fade out.
Let's
get a earpiece.
Sorry about that.
It might be your earpiece or your headphones.
No, I'm moving directions right now to see if that'll work out better.
Okay.
How's that? Is that any improvement?
That's good.
Okay. You hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. So I just want to be able to talk about me and my wife here. Just the deal, we're going to go at it a little bit different today. We're going to talk about the wrestling match between a man and a woman and their ability to trust. As a man, you know, when the Bible invites me to trust, there's struggles that I struggle with. And a lot of it would be the things that I've heard as a young kid. Like my dad basically telling me that if I cry or if I show any emotion, that men don't show really emotion. So as growing up, I struggle with the thought of even expressing how I feel. And coming into my relationship with God, that was very difficult for me because I wanted to be able to go into a place of trust. And I couldn't because I was wrestling with the idea of not showing any emotion.
And I think that, and it's for women, you know, there's that natural inclination to try to fill a void in our lives, which, again, stems from a very young age. And so Satan has a from a very young age on a woman's heart. And so I think we need to discuss that tonight a little bit about trust and what true trust really means in the Lord. Amen?
Amen. The scripture invites me. It says, trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And this is where the wrestling match begins as believers, because the Bible is asking us to have the complete trust or the complete reliance on what the scripture or what God is guiding us. And at that moment, we have things that begin to counsel us, fear or doubt or the voices from the past that has shaped us or conditioned our way of thinking or programmed us to be have a certain image, a certain style. So then I begin to wrestle. As Christians, we begin to wrestle with those ideas, And that, as a man, that becomes difficult. Because now I'm wrestling with God giving me abilities to trust him. And now I'm wrestling with all the ideas that I've heard from people that were very influential in my life.
Amen. Yes, I agree. I think that, you know, the type of spirits or the things that work through the people in our lives, that they start to set that standard for us and start to counsel us as women. And so we go into these relationships unable to really hear what the Lord is speaking because we're so full, our ears are dull of hearing because we're so used to hearing the counsel of other people in our lives. So this really is this approach to really listen to the Lord is what we're going to speak on tonight.
So the Bible invites us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and at the same time it tells us not to lean on our own understanding. What exactly does that mean when we lean on our own understanding? I begin to look back at that and begin to look at back all the positive people that were in my life, all the positive influence, like my grandparents, and maybe my mom had a very strong influential in her ideas and what she felt worked for her to try to impart that into me, and they're deeply rooted. So now when I go to lean not on my own understanding, these are the things that I begin to wrestle with. I begin to wrestle with their counseling. I begin to wrestle with the ideas, the values they instilled into me. Even though they're good values, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're values, or I can say they're counseling that God has for my life, because God designed me specifically in a certain way. The Bible says that constantly he's thinking about us. So that tells me that I'm constantly in the mind of God. And for me to understand myself or understand what I'm going through, I have to go to the mind and the heart of God to know who I am. And now I got to wrestle with everyone's idea that has ever played a part in trying to encourage me or trying to speak positive in my life. And that's where I believe that one of the biggest struggles that as a believer that we may have is the strong positive influence of people's lives versus the word of God that is shaping and molding us into the image of Christ.
I think that's true, as he was mentioning. It's the identity, you know, really understanding who we identify with, you know, in our lives. Because as women, that identity is shaped by worldly things, you know, images and appearances and things that we can earn or keep. And so we tend to lose sight of who we really are and our identity in Christ and how he created us and shaped it and molded us as women from, you know, before we were even born.
It's interesting, you know, hearing it from your point of view as a woman. As a man, I struggle and I lean more on. I start to become someone that I'm not at a very young age. I have to present an image. I have to present a strength. Even if I'm weak or been hurt or vulnerable or been abused mentally, physically, emotionally, however, whatever trauma or situation I've struggled, I have to pretend to be somebody I'm not, so that I'm not drawing from a secure basis, which would be the love of God or the strength of God. I'm drawing from whatever I can find can sustain me. Mm-hmm. And these things develop inside of me, these ideas, and Satan takes advantage. The Bible says he's looking for that opportunity. You know, he's like a lion seeking, may devour. He's looking for that opportunity to devour me or to take his ideas and implement them right in those areas of fear and vulnerability. And now I take on a new enemy, which is the positive things that Satan may look or speak into me. Oh, look, you might struggle here, but you can do this, or you can say this, or you can be this. And I begin to fall trapped to those deception and lies.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and for women, of course, it's emotional. You know, our identification comes from emotion. And then we, of course, when we're married, feed off of our husbands because, you know, even back from when, you know, Adam and Eve and when that came to be, it was that a woman would always search after her husband's, you know, approval, you know, and so that can become the struggle of, you know, who do I relate to, who do I identify with, and what is my real purpose, and how do I build up my home and not tear it down, because that's, I think, the purpose of Satan in that activity.
And you know, it's difficult because the Bible tells me not to lean on my own understanding, but that's all I've ever known. So I can understand the scripture that the battle that takes inside of us, you know, that battle that wrestles against the spirit and the flesh, me trying to do the right thing, but I don't have the ability to do it. And this is where I believe the scripture comes out to tell me, and always acknowledge him. That means that I have to start looking for him. I have to start considering him, his counsel, his love, his peace, his strength, his calling, whatever it may be that he's designing me to go into. That plays an important part in my walk with him, because now as I acknowledge him, that begins to challenge the fears and the things that I've learned or the things that I've adapted to and then that's the wrestling match. Do I rely on the things that I've learned, or do, as I acknowledge him, do I step into the new things that I'm learning? And I'm afraid of new things because every time I tried something new, I've always found it to be some type of failure. So now I'm afraid, so I stay conformed to the pattern that always counseled me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for women especially, those patterns start to create barriers for us and boundaries and walls that if we're not trusting the Lord and leading on his understanding, then we will fall. We will fall short because really it's God's responsibility to do what he says he would do, which is to direct your path. You know, if you trust in him, then he's going to keep that path straight.
So knowledge in him gives me the ability to look. As I look for him, as I acknowledge, as I consider him, as I listen to his counsel, as I let his voice, his word has a place in my heart, then he's the one that directs that path for me. Because it's his word that's a lamp. It begins to light my position, my place of standing, and that light becomes shining as I go further into my relationship with him. You know, it's interesting because it's him that directs the path. It's him that lights the path. It's him that makes the crooked road straight. And this is where I begin to enjoy my walk with the Lord because now I see results. And that's something that I couldn't see when I lean on my own understanding. And I think that's very powerful because the scripture gives the idea that every road that seems right unto a man. Now, I believe that my whole life that this was the direction that was good for me, but it was never profitable because it always led me down the wrong direction.
Amen. So what do you think the description here when it talks about, you know, not being wise in your own eyes? Because we know wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. So if we're wise in our own eyes, then where is that wisdom coming from? Is that from past experiences, do you think?
I think that pride plays an important because the Bible deals with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
So pride really begins. In the reality, it's something that I use to create something that is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like faith. His ability to call things that are not, the substance not there. So now pride tries to take that place. It's like a counterfeit that puffs me up, that gives me, you know, the self-reliance or the strength, or at least I'm not like that person, or look at that person, I'm different. So now I'm becoming strong, or I'm becoming, you know, something that I'm not in my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm building myself up, but there's really no production, or you can say no advancement in the spirit because it's just within me. It's almost like deception, charm. I'm deceiving myself. I have to convince myself that I'm this person. In reality, I know that I'm not.
Hmm. Wow. Makes a lot of sense. Because I think that, you know, for women, and just, you know, just considering the fact of, you know, it's a struggle, you know, to separate our emotions from fact and, you know, not being able to really, you know, use spiritual eyes instead of physical eyes. And so I think that statement about that, the wisdom and the fear of the Lord, it's like that is the one thing I think as women is going to keep us, as it says, to depart from evil and walking down the wrong path and into relationship after relationship. Because truly, you know, if we're relying on our own understanding, then what we're going to do is hurt will attract hurt and we'll continue to follow the same patterns. And right here, God is creating a different pattern for us and showing us a different way that we should go. I mean, truly, if we follow the direction of the scripture, you know, we will have hope, and we will have a future, we will have a new way. We can change generational curses and patterns that have been created long, long ago. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. You know, usually they're passed down from generation to generation, and sometimes people are not even aware of what the next generation's inheritance,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's interesting because, you know, in John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as received him. You know, and that I think that's the powerful thought in that is, but as many as received him. And that's the first thing that I have to recognize within myself is I don't have the ability to help myself.
Mm-hmm.
I need to open my heart and receive him.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that whatever I've inherited in this world has not been the ability or the power to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So coming to the revelation of Jesus Christ, it makes me realize and understand I need a Savior. And if I need a Savior, I understand I need a healer. And if I need a healer, I need a deliverer.
Amen.
So now my life is growing and progressing, not only in relationship, but now I'm being delivered, you know, from the things that oppressed me or bound me or held me down. And, you know, and that's where the power of salvation comes in. It's interesting because the Bible says to them, he gave the power to become the sons of God. And I think that's a big wrestling match because this whole time when I lean on my own understanding, I acted more like an orphan than a son. You know, I can see the characteristic of envy and jealous and insecurity, you know, those things that rule the heart, you know, always wanting something you can't have, you know, working for something, ambition, like ambition is no father, because you wrestle with trying to be all that you can be without realizing, you know, I have to come to a place and understand, wait a minute, I'm creating his image.
Mm-hmm.
When you see me, you see him. That began to change the pattern, the way I think. That if I don't understand that he gave me the power to become the sons, I'm not being submitted to the will of God. I'm more trying to be recognized, like, hey, look, I'm doing here. I'm praying more now. I'm reading more. You know, look at me. I'm doing better. I'm making changes. You know, I'm waving my hand, so to speak. I'm still coming in with that orphan mentality because I'm wrestling for a place, not realizing that I already have that place.
So basically, where is the power? You know, as believers in the church, you know, why are we missing the inheritance as sons and daughters? You know, what would you say to that? Because it sounds like to me, and when we're reading the scriptures, that, you know, simply he has given us the power. That is our inheritance as sons and daughters. But yet we don't help on it. We don't take into our own hands our own deliverance and make changes and break curses in our own lives and our families and our children's lives. So, you know, why would you say that's the case?
Because of my experiences, that every time that I try to do something good for myself and the harder I try, what was the result of that? Things falling apart, things not coming out, I'll give up. So it starts to condition my way of thinking. And I say the more that I try, I don't see results. And then I hear good things like keep trying, keep doing it. But I have to recognize that the
Okay, I don't hear nobody.
You don't hear nobody?
I hear you now.
Okay. So, you know, that's a good point to us to understand power to be lead on his name. Now that gives me the ability to fight. Now it gives me the ability to have hope, the ability to have faith, because he's given me that understanding. And now I can wrestle with fear. I can wrestle with the doubt and the insecurity. So, an influence on my life. Now I can say, hey, get away from me. This is not who I am. I'm creating his image. He's given me the ability to be his son. He's given me the ability to stand in his name.
In Jesus Christ, but it is a worldly gesture to start to condemn yourself and to look at yourself through those eyes and not understanding that we have power. And I think if we even replace in that scripture that he gave them power, that really he said that he gave them the Holy Spirit, you know, that's something that's lacking. I think that we out of these beliefs, out of these negative thoughts, and, you know, it's really his power that has delivered us from it, because
hey, man, y'all kind of fading in and out right now.
Okay. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, that's better. That's better right there.
Thank you. So now, if you think about the thought, you know, that he cursed the ground, right? Cursed the ground. Now, the sweat of your brow, you will eat. That tells me that now my hands have to labor in order to produce something. So now my hands have power behind it, because as I labor and tilt in this cursed ground, there's something that there's the result that's coming out. So now I'm going to shape my identity by the labor of my hands. more than the word that he's spoken into my life. Mm. So as a man, if I feel that things are going right in my life, then it's easy to connect and say, oh, I'm close to God. But if things are falling apart, then the idea is I begin to question my even my relationship or my place or my identity in God, because this whole time it's been my hands that has labored to produce something. And now that labor is being surrendered to the love and to the power of God, and I'm not used to that. I'm more used to creating and making things happen for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, women do that as well. You know, women are doers and nurturers. And so we are, our approval or our feeling of love comes from helping others, helping our husbands, helping our children. And so we tend to do that with our closeness with God as well, you know. But what we do, you know, His love. It's His love that has power. It's not our own ability. It's not loving in our own ability that makes this happen. It's this love that God gives us.
Praise God. She faded out on us again. Praise God.
Okay. We'll work on it, but thank you for letting us know.
Amen.
Me hope. It gives me hope in this fight. It gives me hope in this fight. And that's where it tells me that.
Come on, Elder, chime him in, man. Let him stay out so long. Tell him.
Hey, man, Brother Wong, you kind of faded out. We can't hear y'all at all right now.
At all? Okay.
I don't know what y'all doing.
We're not moving. We have the phone in my place. Hello?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, do you have it on speakerphone? It might be it's on speakerphone. You might have to take it off speakerphone or put it on speakerphone.
Yeah, I'm not moving the phone. It's on speaker. I am in a little bad area, though.
Okay. Did you try taking it off speaker and see if it comes in a little clearer that way?
How's that?
Pastor Juan, don't y'all have two phones?
Yeah, my other phone is, might
okay,
be dead.
Y'all should be on two phones. Y'all trying to share one line. Maybe that's the problem right there.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem. You're right.
Y'all need to be on both lines because both of y'all could both call in and just do it like that.
Okay.
You're killing us.
Okay. So, okay, then we're going to have to try that, then. Use two lines. But can you hear me? Is this any better?
We can hear you good right now. We can hear you good right now.
Okay. So you can hear me good.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, good.
Whatever the phone's on right now, leave it right there. Whatever the phone's on right now, leave it right there.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and do that then. We'll just stay right here. Praise God. So now I'm excited. You know, God's making changes in my life because the word begins to have a place in my life. And now that gives me the ability. And it's interesting that the word invites us. It tells us, you know, that our weapons are not carnal. So now I don't have to fight with my own understanding. I don't have to fight with my own, you know, abilities and my own strength. You know, now I'm fighting with the counsel of God. I'm fighting with the word of God. I'm fighting with the strength of the Spirit. And that's really awesome because it helps me trust in God, and it's not in my own ability and my own strength. And this is exciting as a Christian because it gives me the ability to say, hey, it's not on me, it's not my power, but it's the power of God.
Amen. It's never in our own ability. So that's amazing. And I think that, especially as women, we have to cover self-reliance and that self-preservation mode, you know, it's not uncommon. You know, a lot of us were raised maybe by single moms, or maybe we are single moms, and so that's something that is kind of inherent in us, and we just have to remember that it isn't in our own ability. We're not alone, and we weren't made to be alone, and so we have to get out of that mindset.
And you know what? That is a wrestling match in itself. I mean, because all I've ever known was rebellion. All I have known is look after my best interests, be number one, do whatever you can for yourself. So I start to develop a rebellious mindset, a rebellious spirit, rebellious ideas. So now God, I come to the knowledge of God, and now He's challenging those ideas by saying, surrender your life. If any man comes after me, he invites me, but one must deny himself. And now I'm going against everything I've ever learned. But that's where the love of Christ begins to demonstrate in my life. Do I love my life or do I love Him? If I love Him, I'm going to say no to myself. And that's where I guess the love begins to demonstrate. It's easier said than done because a lot of us go through all kinds of different, it reaches a mature level that we begin to recognize that the love of God is our strength, is our power. And it begins to project us forward to get into areas we couldn't get into before.
The other day we were talking about the joy, you know, being what is propelling us. You know, we tend to not think of joy as actually being a weapon. It really is. It's that moving forward and takes us out of that mindset of that, you know, we got this all together. Because we're in that me generation. You know, we may not be millennials, but we definitely are in a place right now where people are very self-reliant on one another. And so we've got to get ourselves out of that mindset because that is just one that leads to witchcraft. It's destruction in all regards.
You know, the idea, like in Romans 7:5, but when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were led by the law, did work in our members to bring forth the fruit unto death. And it's interesting, it began to work its way through to produce. See that the flesh is working. It's working, it's bringing in fears and doubts and insecurities, all these things that begin to break me down, rejection, all these things that tell me that I don't belong to God, the fear, the condemnation, the guilt begins to work its way through. It begins to convince me or tell me that I'm far from God, that God don't love me. These are the things that are real because we question them, even sitting in the church. Even people that come in to the church, they sit there and they listen to the word. They feel something touch their life. Their heart begins to be challenged and they feel something. But then at the same exact time, the Bible brings out the idea that Satan is coming, you know, for the purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. So his whole counsel now is there to take away or destroy or steal anything that God is doing in my life.
Yes, amen. If you're looking at under those things, then that law of sin is created to have dominion over it. We were the ones who had dominion over it, but unfortunately, because sin is inherent, we wrestle against those things. Our body are subject to it. So it's really us knowing that we are delivered. That's our freedom. Really rise up as women and understand what our place is in the kingdom.
And you know what? I thank God. I thank God
for his word that begins to shine light in those areas that I have doubt and insecurities. And it begins to let me know that there is hope, there is power. And now I can give myself over to the power and the wisdom of the Spirit. And that's the amazing part, because now I'm crying. I'm crying, that's my Father. If I need him, he's there. Not only that, my life can begin to resemble him. I can begin to have the same mind, the same heart, because now his word has a place in my life. It begins to speak to me. It begins to challenge me. It begins to correct me. It begins to bring me out. You know, it begins to challenge me in different ways that I never knew that I can be challenged. And the biggest thing is now I'm going to have to wrestle with me. So now it's more fear wrestling with me than Satan. Satan's, you know what, you've been defeated. You're a defeated foe. Now I got to learn how to bring myself under subjection to the things that God is calling me into.
You know, and how do you feel about that wrestling match? That's a good point. We were just discussing this together the other day about that wrestling match that we, you know, Satan gets to a point where he has got you trained so well that you're wrestling against yourself. He doesn't even need to be present. You know, you're already submitted to the behaviors, and so now you're not wrestling, you know, in the way that you should, you know, spiritually, but you're wrestling against your flesh. And then he makes us as believers grow weary in doing good, because now we're spending so much time trying to figure things out that we can't even really see spiritually with those eyes.
You know, that's what made me take this approach today and ministering this way, or because I remember sitting in the church, hearing the word, and it sounds so beautiful. It touched my heart. I felt something inside waking. But then I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to go about it. So I started making a lot of mistakes. And it seemed harder when I came to God living for God than it was living for myself. And now I just, for a season or for a moment in my life, I didn't know who to. I was exposed to this love. I was exposed to a Savior, a God that loves me, that considers me, that's bringing me out, that's changing me. But then I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to talk to. And I think that's where important it is for people that are ready, people that are wanting to disciple, to work with people, and to help us fight this fight, help us run this. And I believe that there's a lot of people right now that are in that situation that they don't know who to turn to. Because everyone that I turned to violated me one way or another. So now I'm coming to the church, and for the first time I believe, but then I start experiencing church hurt. And it's just as real as outside in the world.
Yeah, gosh, that's so true. You know, and down on Skid Row, we see that so much. You know, there's so many people that have been affected by that, by the rejection of believers. And, you know, I think that that's a really strong message that Pastor's talking about, that, you know, we rely on and we start to trust in the people of the church. And, you know, we know that we're all human and make mistakes. And, you know, our trust is in God and on leaning not on our own understanding. But it's really easy to fall into that because we're looking for healing. You know, people are coming to the church for healing, and, you know, they're so caught up in their sin, they don't even know how to get delivered from the law. They don't know how to get out from under the bondage. And so, you know, as the believers, as the church, you know, it's our responsibility, you know, to take care of the orphan and the widow and the alien, and we're kind of lost sight of who we are as the light of the world right now. And I think that's a really strong message that you're speaking about, just really understanding who we are in Christ.
Amen. That's one thing that I see a lot. We see a lot down there on Skid Row. We're talking about the largest homeless community in our country. And right now, we're in one location, within five blocks, you know. And it's interesting because most of them, about 90% of the people that are down there, struggle of rejection. Rejection begin to eat up at their heart, begin to eat them up before they know it. They didn't even believe in themselves or even believe that God even cared about them. And a lot of them experienced such trauma and hurt that took away their ability to even learn how to receive help. So what happens? self-perseverance. They try to survive the best way that they can. And this is unique where I begin to see the love of God. The same love that began to give me the confidence, the same love that began to give me hope, same love that began to draw me out of my struggle to let me know, you know, His love is there to sustain me. That same love is a love that flows and it starts to change people. And I'm like, wow, this is real. But it comes at a price. You know, it comes at a cost, and this is where the difference comes in, I believe. It's the time spent in prayer, intimacy with God, and my word, and dedicating, and fighting these things, fighting these ideas, fighting these emotions, and learn how to wrestle with them so they won't have a place in my life. And now when we go out there, it's hope that we bring. And I just love the way it ministers to people.
That's true. You know, we're not that different from, you know, we might think that we're different. We might be even telling the Lord, you know, thank you for, I'm not in that position and I'm better. I'm in a different place than these people. But honestly, we are in a place. I mean, everybody that we come in contact with has and is struggling with that spirit of abandonment. And, you know, the devil is crafty and wise. And so, you know, he has placed that in. I think he's placed into our hearts, and I think not just for women, but I'm going to speak on behalf of women right now, that the problem really goes back to identity and not really under beloved. You know, in the Bible, that's how Christ speaks of John, you know, his disciple, is him being beloved and being intimate with him, and John having that special relationship in which at the Last Supper, you know, he was so close, he leaned against his bosom. I mean, they were... You know, they had a relationship like no other. I mean, it's the only time in the Bible that he actually, you know, Jesus talks about some, you know, loving a disciple like in that way. And, you know, that's the struggle. The struggle we have really as women is not understanding, you know, yes, we love the Father, but, you know, more importantly, he loves us. He loved us and he loved us first. And, you know, we really have to start that as a foundation for understanding out, really knowing that we are his beloved. You know, his prized possession, we're going to struggle with belonging and struggle with choosing the wrong people and struggle in our jobs and our relationships. So I think that's a really important message tonight, is to really understand that he loves us. And there's nothing that we can do about that. Nothing we can do about that.
Praise God. Yes. And we appreciate you guys for giving us the opportunity to be able to just express the things that are in our heart. Well, idea about taking this approach to be able to communicate, you know, as a husband and a wife, and pastors in the ministry, and just to give, you know, encouraging word that, you know, we're in the fight, and there's no shame to be in a fight. Sometimes people look at the fight and think that the wrestling matches is a struggle. No. We're going to be in a wrestling match. We have to identify with that and not be afraid of that. Because as I started to recognize, I'm going to be in a fight. Regardless of whatever decision I make, I'm going to be in a wrestling match. And this is where I have to begin to allow God's word to speak to me. Because he has a message tailor-made for me. Specifically made for my personality, who I am, my call, what he has, you know, design me for, and that begins to speak into my life. It gives me the hope, gives me the strength that I need. And that's something that I believe is really strong in my relationship with God, my intimacy with God, is that he speaks to me, and his words encourages me to us, because there's hope that lives in me.
Amen.
God, thank you for this opportunity. We just wanted to take a different approach on it and just be
Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. We thank y'all on tonight. Praise God for that word. Hallelujah. We thank y'all. Amen. I actually like, amen, the way y'all tag teamed it together. Praise God from the man's perspective and from the woman's perspective. Hallelujah. That was it was truly a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy keeps trying to come in and mess with these airwaves. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the enemy cannot stop the word of God from going forth. He cannot stop the word of God from coming out. Hallelujah. And somebody out there needed to hear this message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody out there needed to understand. Hallelujah. That it doesn't have to be a struggle. We're going to be in a fight. Hallelujah. But it don't have to be a struggle all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we thank God. Amen. Praise God for the evangelist on this evening, amen, bringing forth, hallelujah, that word, hallelujah, and we thank God for them. Let me do this before I open up the phone lines. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you touch this pastor and this first lady today, Lord. Touch them in a mighty way, Lord. Continue to bless their ministry, Lord. Continue showering down blessings on them and their family, Lord. Hallelujah. Continue to prosper them in the word. Hallelujah. Continue to prosper them, hallelujah, in their ministry, Lord. And we thank you right now, Lord. Hallelujah. For this man and woman of God. Hallelujah. We thank you for them, Lord, because we know, hallelujah, that one can defeat 1,000. But two can defeat 10,000. We thank you, Lord, for these two tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you, we magnify you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah and amen. On tonight, hallelujah, I thank God, hallelujah, amen, praise God, hallelujah, for Pastor and First Lady Placinia tonight. I do hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, praise God. And right now I want to go to the phone line. Hallelujah. And I want to open up the phone lines, praise God, for comments on the word tonight. Or perhaps maybe you heard the word tonight. Hallelujah. You want some information on how you can, amen, come to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe you have a testimony. Maybe you have a prayer request tonight. I want to open up the lines at this time. Praise God. Will there be one on tonight? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm really truly blessed by the message. So many of our listeners sometimes don't say anything. They just be truly blessed. And some folks are just built like that. However, I know the radio is speaking and people are listening on the radio. And I'm grateful, Pastor Juan, for you and your wife. I enjoyed the message tonight. I am one with a voice. You know me for years now. You know I do have a voice, but I don't have nothing else, sir. So, you know, I will definitely say thank you very much for the message. And for those who are down there in California that would like to connect with Juan and Restoration Hope Ministries. Did I say that right, Juan? Pastor Juan?
Yes. Yes, sir. Restoration of Hope.
Right, Restoration of Hope Ministries. Elder Peoples will give you information on how to do that. They're right down there in South Central California, Los Angeles. And so, wonderful ministry to get involved with. They're open. And I'm not the broadcaster, so I'm out of my lane right now. Elder, go ahead. Do what I'm trying to do, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If you
we have better. Two phones next time, Pastor. That's two phones, and y'all can both do it on both lines because that one line was killing. I just think it wasn't as good as it could be. So maybe y'all want to do two phones next time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen, amen. But if you do want any information on Restoration Hope Ministries, praise God, hallelujah, amen. We do have, hallelujah, all of the contact information, hallelujah, is in the captions. Hallelujah, those of you listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, those of you watching us out there on Facebook. Praise God, we thank God for y'all on tonight. Hallelujah, we truly hope you enjoyed the message. Before we go, I want to make sure, is there anybody else on the line tonight that has maybe a comment, a prayer request? Hallelujah.
Hey, amen, Bishop. I thank the man and the woman of God for the word. Let us know we are wrestling. We are fighting. And just had a comment to say about the word there that whenever God gives a promise to Abraham, we have to realize the promise that he gave to Abraham was in the hand of someone else. The land he promised Abraham was in the land, the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites. And we have to always realize that we're going to occupy and take that land. You got to realize that we have to always realize that the enemy is not going to give up their land without a fight. And so everything that God has promised us is in the hand of someone else or something else. Our blessing is in the hand of doubt, unbelief, fear. Though a lot of our blessing is in the hand of doubt, unbelief, and fear. And when we can overcome those enemies, we can inherit the promise. Amen.
If I may add something, that was amazing, because when God called us into Skid Row, we knew that Battle was a strong man in that area. So we took that fight personally.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We have, at the end of the month, we have an all-night prayer where we sit on the corner of 6th and Town, right there in Skid Row, Los Angeles, and we set up a little canopy, and we're there all night praying, just interceding for the community. Amen. But the whole reason why we're down there is to bind that strong man, because once he goes down, that's it. There's freedom.
Amen.
So yeah, that is we're going after him because we want his land. You're right. We want what he has. Those people that are bound and struggling. So our ministry is designed. God has given us the ability, and we're going into that in that land to occupy it and take away the inhabitants, take away the people that he has possession of right now. In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's truly hallelujah ministry right there. Hallelujah. Amen. To go out to Skid Row and see me and my wife, we saw a video about Skid Row. It was a young man. He perpetrated being homeless. Hallelujah. To shoot a documentary and almost got killed. Hallelujah. Praise God out there on Skid Row. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, amen. I praise the Lord for this man and woman of God. Hallelujah. Because everybody out there is easy to preach in them synagogues. Hallelujah. But what about going out there to that wilderness? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's easy to be in that temple, but what about out there in that wilderness? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we thank God for them tonight. We thank God for the courage God has given them to go in and take back, hallelujah, what belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. These are God's children that they are going out to, and we commend them for that tonight. Hallelujah. Being obedient. Hallelujah. To the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. On tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
And Pastor Juan. That's the voice of Bishop Page that you're listening to as well. And he's the brother down here with Care Church down in Arlington, Texas, where we served the Lord together at here in a physical location in Arlington, Texas. And he's a very dear friend of mine, such as yourself, Ev. We've been friends for years. You and I, Juan, and also Bishop Page and I, we got about 18, 19 years. So, yes, I just want to make sure y'all hear each other's voices. And I couldn't introduce your wife because I don't know how to call her by name. So I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, yet. Her name is Deanne.
Deanne, okay.
Deanne.
We'll just say, can I just say First Lady, okay?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Hey,
you know, Andre.
You
Andre, you know what's interesting? That when the Lord called us into Skid Row, you know, we walked out of a building, organized building and everything, a church, and we moved into Skid Row and just walked into Skid Row You know what's amazing? What blew my mind was after about a month being there in ministry, I was teaching a Bible study, and I clearly heard the Holy Spirit told me to be careful because Satan was going to try to take my life. And that night, I ended up in the emergency room with infection in the pulmonary valve, but they had no idea how I got there. But I fought for my life for the next 6 months, and all I heard was the Lord tell me, trust me. So when you step into areas like that and you assault the enemy, you better be prepared. And I say that with the things that we face. You better be prepared because he's not going to let you just walk in and take that land. He's going to fight you for it. And we have power in the name of Jesus, but expect to fight. And
I remember when you came out the physical building and you and your wife took your ministry into Skid Row. So I remember the devastation of all that when you received your apostleship. So I remember those days, yes. And I'm just glad to say I'm glad that you made it for brother.
Yeah, and it was by the grace of God. But, you know, going into areas like that, you know, you're going into his playground. You got to think about it. It's almost like a Solomon Gomorrah there. All the things you see right before, opening your eyes and everything that's down there, it's just, it's like it's on steroids. And it's, man, it's, but I thank God for the ability because when he sent us down there, he sent us down there with authority. So we're seeing. Now, there's something I want to share with you that's powerful. We have two parks that we minister out of. And we've already taken one strong man down. And that's the spirit of poverty. Because in every single one of our services, during worship, the homeless come and they begin to give. Whatever they have. Pastor, here's an offering. Pastor, here's my tithe. Pastor, you know, and they come up with cents or a dollar, a few cents, and they put it in the bucket and they do it with joy. You know, Pastor, I was going to buy a beer, but here's my money. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'd rather taste of the Lord. And we see that every single one of our services, they fill a little bucket with change. People are giving. And that right there releases a liberty. I'm starting to see it manifest.
Great.
Just thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, that's a wonderful praise report. Your wife and you probably one day will catch Raise the Praise. Come on, Elder. Let's hear some promotion here.
Amen. Perhaps, praise God, y'all can join us on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Hallelujah. At the same number, praise God, that you called into, amen, beginning at 10 o'clock over there in California, we begin an all-day praise service. Praise God. All day praise, all day prayer, all day worship. Praise God. And it lasts for up to 10 hours. Praise God. For up to 10 hours, we are on the line with people all over the country. Like, you know, Bishop Alexis and Bishop Page are in Arlington. I'm over here in Houston. Y'all over there in California. We got some people up there in California. Praise God also. Hallelujah. Amen. Kansas City, New York, Florida, Louisiana, all over the country, the Virgin Islands. So we invite y'all to come and worship with us one day. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're also open every single night. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And we're open every morning also. Hallelujah. Amen. With the morning prayer line. Hallelujah. Amen. And anybody out there listening, amen, on Facebook, hallelujah, or if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, hallelujah, and you just happen to be in the Los Angeles area, praise God, hallelujah, on June 30th, the speakers that you just heard today, hallelujah, Pastor and First Lady Placinia, hallelujah, praise God, they are having their 2-year anniversary at the Restoration of Hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is at Gladys Park. Hallelujah. 808 East 6th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90021. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're going to have food. They're going to have music. They're going to have giveaways. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they want everybody to come out there and experience the move of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What you just got tonight was just a sample. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love getting samples. Praise God. Hallelujah. But nothing better than the whole meal. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we invite, if you're out there in the Los Angeles area, and I know some people online at all, praise God. Hallelujah. That is Saturday, June 30th from 9 to 4 at Gladys Park, 808 East 6th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90021. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we thank God for them on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for everybody who called in. Do we have any more comments? Hallelujah. On the line tonight. Praise God.
I just thank God and praise God for the mighty and the powerful ministry that they operate in. And what better place to be than under the open heavens and the enemy come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he come with the vengeance. But the word of God say we take it back by force. So, and we all have struggles, but thank God that we can overcome. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for Evangelist Maxine on tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's out there in Cali also. Praise God. We thank God for her. Amen. On tonight. Amen. In the ministry that God put in her also. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have anybody else on the line on tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we just praise and thank. I'm sorry, was there someone there? Well, amen. We just praise and thank God tonight. Hallelujah. I'm picking up an echo from somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If there's you, please. Amen. Say that again, Bishop.
Let's open the doors of the church.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I was just about to do that. Praise God. But somebody has an echo on their phone right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to need somebody to place that on mute. Hallelujah. I can't tell where the echo is coming from. Praise God. But I want to turn it over to Bishop Alexis at this time. Bishop Alexis, praise God. Hallelujah. Would you be so kind, hallelujah, as to extend the right hand of fellowship at this time?
And I'll take that right hand of fellowship and pass that fellowship over to Juan himself and let him open his doors of the church, him and his wife tonight. Would you do that down there and open the doors of the church, Juan, Pastor Juan?
Yeah, I'm here. Praise me. I want to know, what do you mean me to do? I'm listening.
This is an invitation we offer all those who do not know Christ to have an opportunity to come inside and let Jesus into their heart.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you. You know, the beauty of the love of God is, the Bible says that He stands in at the front of every heart, every door, and He knocks. What an amazing God that He knocks at the door of every heart with an expectation, with an expectation and excitement that individual would open up their heart, open up that door, hear that knocking. So if you're out there today and you felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you felt Him knocking on your door, don't reject that. Open that door of your heart and give Him an opportunity. The Bible says that He looks for the opportunity to make Himself strong on your behalf. So whatever you may be going through, whatever you may be facing, you know, give Him an opportunity. You can see. You can see His love, His strength. And you know what? The enemy comes in so many different ways and presents himself in so many different, you know, fashions and ways that he really comes to deceive. And in that deception, he destroys. But God gave to give life and life more abundantly. So You know what? If you haven't received the Lord, let's do this today. You know, the Bible says that if we confess, all we got to do is confess. Confess that He is Lord. Believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He's alive, that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And believe. With your confession, that brings you into faith, and that brings you into right standing with God. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray hear your word, and those that are going to hear God, we pray that your word will begin to pierce through all defenses. Whatever, oh God, whatever reasoning an individual may have, we pray that your word will begin to pierce. Father, we pray that your word brings them to an open invitation, God, to come into your house, to be a part of your family, God, to be brought into the family of God. We pray for people to respond, Lord. So out there, if you're hearing, just open the door of your heart and welcome him and invite him in. Ask for forgiveness. You know, and there's power in forgiveness. And if you're stuck in confession and says, Lord, not only do I receive your forgiveness, but if there's anyone that's ever hurt me, I forgive. And Father, I pray right now that people would take that opportunity, Lord, to receive you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Pastor Juan. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, First Lady. Hallelujah, for coming on tonight. Hallelujah. If anybody accepted that invitation tonight, if you prayed that prayer, hallelujah, with Pastor Juan, hallelujah, we want you to know, hallelujah, you have been saved. Hallelujah, praise God. And we advise you from this point on, hallelujah, to get into a Bible-based church. Hallelujah, praise God. Get the call the line, praise God, hallelujah. Don't just listen on the radio or listen on Facebook. Call in, praise God, hallelujah, and experience, hallelujah, the love of God for yourself. Hallelujah. The more you learn about God, hallelujah, praise God, the more you can receive everything that God has for you. Hallelujah. He has some salvation. He got some deliverance. Hallelujah. He got some prosperity. He got some healing. Hallelujah, praise God. He got some gifts of the Spirit. He got some fruits of the Spirit. It's so much that God wants to give us. Hallelujah. And we invite you, hallelujah, to continue on. Don't just stop here. It don't stop here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to continue on. Hallelujah. Seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. And we do thank God for our speakers on tonight, all the way from Los Angeles, California. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor and First Lady Placinia, we thank God for them tonight. Hallelujah. We have had a blessed time with them tonight. Praise God. Amen. And they will be back, I believe, on next week. Is that right, Pastor Juan? Hallelujah. Or is there going to be sooner than that? Hallelujah.
Yeah, we'll be on next week.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So next week, amen. Praise God. Make sure y'all call in. Make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all Facebook in. Whatever you got to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because next week we're going to have another powerful word from the man and woman of God. Hallelujah. I have had a blessed time on tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I have been blessed with the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know others were blessed by the word of God also. Praise God. Hallelujah. And remember, next week, the same time, that's 9:30 in California. Praise God. 11:30 Central Time. Hallelujah. 12:30. Hallelujah. On the East Coast in New York and parts of Florida. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Anointed Truth of Christ late night show. Hallelujah. And we thank God. Hallelujah for our speakers on tonight. Praise God. Remember, we will be online in the morning. Hallelujah for the Fellowship of Unity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Prayer Ministry, the morning call, hosted by our very own, hallelujah, Minister Ray. Praise God. So we invite everybody to call back in tomorrow morning. Praise God at 6:30. Hallelujah. I know that's just a few hours from now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But our Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. Praise God. Hallelujah. So 6:30. Hallelujah. Amen. California time. 8:30 over here in Houston and over there and on the East Coast. Hallelujah. It's at 9:30. Praise God. Oh, tomorrow's Friday, so it's at 6 a.m. 6, 8, hallelujah, and 9. Praise God, hallelujah. And we will be sending those texts out, hallelujah. You will receive notifications for all the callers who called into the line tonight. Praise God, we have truly had a blessed time. And once again, we want to thank the pastor and the first lady, hallelujah, for speaking on tonight, amen. And they will be back again next week, praise God. So make sure you tune in again next week. And we're going to go ahead and close out tonight with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the word that you have given to us tonight, Lord. We thank you for everybody who has called in, everybody who tuned in, everybody who heard your word on tonight. Lord, we pray that this word resonate in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our soul, and that we can practice it, Lord, in our everyday life, Lord. And we want to magnify you. We want to praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for the peaceful sleep that we are about to sleep tonight. We thank you, Lord, in advance, hallelujah, amen, for the things that you are going to do in our life tomorrow, praise God. And we just want you to know, Lord, that we love you and we appreciate you for everything that you do. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us so we all come back together again. On behalf of First Lady and myself, we want y'all to know that we love y'all. God bless y'all. Don't forget to say your prayers and just see what God can manifest in your life on tomorrow. This is Elder Prevost on behalf of the Anointed Truth of Christ, hallelujah, and KL Radio Network. We'll see y'all on our next broadcast. Everybody have a blessed night.
God bless.
God bless.